You know, it's an amazing thing to think about that God knows everything about me and He still likes me. See, you like me because you don't know me. Right? And so in here, yeah, but if you knew what I was really like, if you knew what was in my heart and my thoughts, you'd say, man, he's an awful guy. And before you think that's funny, because guess what? If I could look into your heart and into your thoughts, right? You're probably pretty bad too. And in here, yeah, God knows everything about us. And He still loves us. In Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about this idea of walking circumspectly in our lives. And every time I come to this verse, I probably use this illustration before. But this is the picture that always comes to mind. When we were kids, I share with you, you know, we had a horse pasture, not a cow pasture, but we had a horse pasture in our backyard. And one of the best things that we would do in summer is we would go play tag down the fields. And we would kick off our shoes, take off our socks, and roll up our pant legs, and we would run out into the field. Now, you guys are, I know you live in the city here, you know, Stockton Springs, you guys are city folks. But you know what it's like to be in the country. Has anyone ever had horses or cows or anything, or lived by it? How many of you guys have been in a cow pasture? You know what you watch out for, right? Yeah, cow exhaust. And so, you know, as kids, we would do that, and we would run, because not only did you have to keep away from the person who's trying to tag you, but you had to be careful where you stepped, right? Because, you know, you can get something warm and squishy between your toes. It was not good. And then you fall down, and you get it on your back. It's just not good. Right? So we would run out and we would try to walk carefully or run carefully throughout the field. And this passage, I don't think this is the idea that Paul had when he wrote this. But I can't help but think. But in our lives, folks, to walk circumspectly, be careful where you step. Be careful where you go in your life. That so many times people walk without purpose. You know, I've talked to more people who are just kind of get up and kind of just stumbling through their day, just reacting and kind of, you know, going by the feel of their gut, or not even that, but just kind of whatever pops up, whatever is the easiest way out of that situation or to handle it without thinking it through. And what happens when you live your life that way, in a non-purposeful way, is just like in a cow pasture, you're going to end up stepping in it. And so many people are stepping in it in their lives. And in my life, when I don't walk circumspectly, when I'm not careful, right? If I just kind of stumble through without thinking, and I can be prone to that. You know, I didn't think about the consequences. Oh, I didn't think what was going to happen in the long run. Right? I just reacted. We get ourselves in trouble. We kind of live in a society where we live sort of the Disney philosophy, you know. Just follow your heart. You ever heard that? Follow your heart. Well, the Bible says the heart is wicked and deceitful above all else. Who can know it? You know, I'm a big fat liar. And you know who I lie to the most? Myself. You're in the same boat, right? You know? We talked about this morning in Sunday school, the idea of the flesh, that it wants what it wants, and it lies, it tricks me. You know, I won't suffer the consequences of it. I won't get caught. Or it's really not that bad. Or it's worth it. Right? For the momentary pleasure, and yet we leave off the guilt and the shame and the embarrassment of all these things that come in along with it in our lives. And so in here, he tells us to walk in wisdom. Be wise about what you do. Be wise with who you hang out with. Walk circumspectly. And not as a fool. Right? I don't want to be foolish in my life. Now, sometimes I am. But I don't want to be. But in here, but as wise, being purposeful, being knowledgeable of what I do. It goes on and says, look, I'm redeeming the time, verse 16, because the days are evil. What does it mean? I always thought this is an interesting phrase. Actually, the New Living Translation puts it this way. It says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. That folks, everything we do is a choice. And every choice has consequences that go along with it. Right? And we can choose the lower road or the higher road. Well, folks, time is short. You know, it used to be, talking to people, I talked to guys who are, in their teen years who kind of mess up, and then they hit their early 20s, and they're still kind of messing up. And it's interesting because, in your early 20s, a lot of times, I've done some stupid things. I had a place where I worked at, and I didn't make some good choices. I was offered, I was working construction, and I had a guy offer me 3 times the pay to go work with him for a week. And so, what am I going to do? I was like, well, I'm going to go get 3 times as much over here. And so, I was a young punk, and I thought I knew better. And so I didn't show up for the week at my regular job. I just didn't show up because I didn't want to call him. I didn't want to lie to him and say, okay, I'm sick. No, that's not right. I can't do that, right? And so I was like, but I wanted the extra money. So I just won't show up. Maybe they won't notice. Yeah. And so I did. I blew off this job for a week and went and worked at this other job. Got 3 times as much. I was like, woohoo, I'm doing good. Well, then the next week I showed up at my regular job. And you'll never guess what they did. You want to guess? They fired me. Well, that didn't work out well because now I'm making nothing. Well, to make it worse was I turn around, and it's funny because, in the flesh I want to blame my boss. Well, you know what? He was right. I shouldn't have, right? I didn't treat him well. Well, then I applied somewhere else. A couple of years later, doing something else. And they asked for, where's your last places of employment? And I put this place that I worked there. I worked there for a couple of years. And, well, they called and checked. And that boss gave me a bad review. Right? I was like, ah. So this new place pulled me in the office and sat me down. And they said, yeah, we're checking up on you. Uh-oh. And the guy said, yep, when you worked, you were a good employee. I was like, phew. He goes, but what's this deal with you blowing off work? And, what's the... And I was like, ah. You know what? And I had a choice. Right? So I've done this, I'm trying to get this new job. And I said, you know what? I was just stupid. Right? I was young. I thought, this would be a good thing. This is probably about 5 years have gone by. I've learned my lessons. Since then, I've gotten married. I got these other responsibilities. I'm not that same person. I've grown up. And he looked at me and goes, you know what? He goes, we've all done stupid things when we're young. He goes, I'll give you a chance. And he gave me a chance. He hired me on the spot. I was like, whew. And it's interesting because we go down through in your teens, in your 20s, we all make mistakes, and oftentimes later on, people look and say, oh, you were foolish at that point in time. But you know what happens when all of a sudden now you start hitting your 30s, and you're still doing those things? It becomes harder, right? And repercussions. And I talked to a gentleman who is still kind of doing that, and he's like in his late 40s, almost 50 years old, and he's still kind of, and now he goes, I can't get a job. No one's willing to forgive me. Because it gets harder. Right? And we look at those things. The days are evil. Look, folks, we live in such a short period of life that sometimes we got to seize the opportunities because we don't know when the next one's going to be. That in here, that look, think of the consequences because You know, it's harder sometimes to undo, right? The older you get, it's harder to undo some of the things you've done. So in here, seizing the opportunities, redeeming the time, using them up. James tells us in James chapter 4:14, says, therefore you do not know what will happen for tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You know, some of you have been around the block a few more times than me. I love it, you know. You know, when I first came here, people were like, oh, we like having a young pastor. It's like, man, I'm young. I've been called that for a while now, right? Some of you have more experience in life than I do. But then you know how true this is. Right? You know, I talk to a parent who turns around and says, you know, I'm too busy, I'm too active, I don't have time for my kids, I'll make it up later. Then what happens? You blink your eyes and where'd it go? Right? You know, my little girl's 9 years old and she's growing like a weed. I don't know what happened to that little baby. You know? Blink. You know, some of you, blink, been married 30, 40, 50 years. Where'd it go? As I said, I sat down and had an opportunity to talk with Linda Stewart, and she's like, it is so hard. She goes, you know what? She goes, Stewart was, you know, he never dated anyone else. I was his first love, and we, you know, married when we were young, and we spent, I don't think it's nearly 50 years together. She goes, all what I wouldn't do just for a few more moments, right? Life is a vapor. And in our lives, Lord, to take these opportunities and make the right choices, walk circumspectly, walk wisely in the decisions that I make. You know, because the words I say, I may not have time to take back. Maybe the hurt that I cause, I won't have time to undo. Think twice, or maybe I shouldn't do this, or maybe I should. You know what? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, so I should take the opportunity now. Well, I'll do it later. You may not have later. Talked to a gentleman who was so busy. He worked for the paper mill up in Lincoln. And he worked all the time. And he finally retired. Actually, he retired and they called him back. He was 68 when he finally said, okay, I'm retiring for real this time. And he had a motorcycle in his garage that he barely ever rode. And he had plans. I had talked to him. He had plans that when he retired, him and his wife were going to cruise around. He was going to get a leather jacket. And he was just going to cruise the roads like a wild thing. Right? And he had all planned out. He had saved up money. And he was going to plan this huge trip. And had all these things going on. This big dream of the golden years that he was going to have. The last year he worked, he destroyed his back. So much so that even surgery wasn't a possibility to fix it. And I was sitting down with him. He goes, Pastor, he goes, my whole life I had put off so many things for my golden years. He goes, my golden years are now taken away from me. What do I do now? He had put his relationship with his wife on hold. He had put his relationship with his kids on hold. All the adventure he was going to do, he was planning on trying to do a mission trip. He had all these things. He goes, you know what? I'll serve the church more when I get my golden years. He had all these plans and all these ideas of all he was going to do someday. Folks, life is a vapor. Walk circumspectly in this world. It goes on, verse 18 in Ephesians 5. It says, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. in our lives, though, as we live, what's controlling? And in here, what he uses for contrast is being drunk versus being filled with the Spirit. Which one controls you? To be filled with something that dulls your senses? Or something that takes controls, that breaks down those inhibitions and which causes regret and causes hurt? Or do you fill yourself with being cleansed with the washing of the Word? Be filled with the Spirit. And in here we talk about the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Things that produce godliness in our lives. Or the things of the flesh. It has its consequences. Galatians tells us, it says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish, but you are led. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Our desire should be, Lord, work through me. Be sensitive to the Spirit's working in my life. Lord, what do you want me to say to someone? What do you want me to do? To live our life wisely and purposely, of acknowledging God in each step of the way. Because I tell you, when I operate in the flesh, you know, there's times when my anger gets the best of me. There's times when the frustration gets the best of me. There's times when I'm just going to do it my way. You know what? I'm going to have a breakdown because I deserve it. You ever have those moments? Right? I've had it and I'm going to give it to you with both barrels. And it'll feel so good. And it does feel good for a moment. Then afterwards it's like, right? I'm operating the flesh. When I open my mouth and it's not godly words that come out. Right? Of cutting and hurting and tearing. Right? We are prone to those things. Well, that's not the Spirit of God in my life. Right? I'm acting like the drunk and not the saint. And in my life, Lord, if I allow Him to lead me, He will lead me into good things. And in here, He goes through and He talks about how to be filled with the Spirit. Alright? In here, as we look at the language, it says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, interesting, as we go through this passage, right? In English, we would read this such as, look, when you're filled with the Spirit, this is what happens. Right? When I'm filled with the Spirit, then I'll do all these things. And in here, I broke them down for you. Right? We'll speak to one another in psalms and spiritual songs. We'll be singing and making melody. We'll be giving thanks and we'll be submitting to one another. But in you, from what I understand in the Greek, it's the opposite to what we normally think. It's not, if I'm filled with the Spirit, this is what I'll do. But if I want to be filled with the Spirit, then this is what I should do. Do these things first, and we submit ourselves. And in here, God will fill us up with His Spirit. So in our lives, be purposeful in what we do. Walking wisely, right? Circumspectly. Be careful where you step. Where should we go? And the first one we want to look at here is speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I'll spare you. I won't sing to you this morning. It'd be sad. And in here, I always think of the idea of musicals. Does anyone here really like musicals? Anyone like musicals? One, two, three. No one wants to admit it. All right. For years, some friends of ours say, you know what? Pastor, have you ever seen Fiddler on the Roof? Has anyone ever seen Fiddler on the Roof? All right, and Morbius, yeah. And I'm like, I'm not into musicals. You know, I'm just one of these guys, you know. It's like, I don't understand, like, West Side Story, we got these big, tough guys, and all of a sudden they're like, I'm like, that just doesn't. I'm like, well, that doesn't, you know. I'm mean and tough, and I just don't see that. And it just loses me. You know? And so we were watching The Fiddler on the Roof. And it came out. I mean, you guys are familiar with it. It's a musical. It's a long musical. It's like a 10-hour movie. It just goes on. And, you know, and I do like that, you know, well, if I were a rich man, da-da-da-dee-dee-dee, right? After that, it's... And so I watched the whole thing because I told someone I would. And they, you know, afterwards they're all excited. So, how'd you like it? I said, you know, if they just took out all the music, it'd be a good movie. And it only, the crowd turns. And it would only be down to like a half hour movie. You know? And I was just like, you know, it's not just me. And this, you know, and I'm just saying that it doesn't mean in here that, look, our, you know, we should be going around singing with each other. But in here, that our hearts become filled with the music of the Lord. That in here, that as we want to turn around and fill ourselves, and music is a very powerful tool in life. There are songs that are stuck in my head that I've known. You know, I always tell you that, you know, I'm not a big Southern Gospel guy. But I know a lot of Southern Gospel because my parents liked it. And it's in there because I heard it over and over and over again growing up. But music has a powerful thing. And in here, what we've done with our family is said, look, the music we listen to falls into one of these categories. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Psalms you're familiar with. Open your Bibles up. And Proverbs, and you have the book of Psalms. And any of the Psalms are a very powerful thing in our lives. I really want to encourage you, if you're going through something, make it a habit of reading the Psalms. Because in here, what you find oftentimes are the expressions that we're feeling. There are Psalms of praise and adoration to God. Right? I've talked to someone who says, well, I don't know how to praise God. Read the Psalms. If you're going through a struggle, read the Psalms. Some of the psalmists talk about the struggles that they're having in their life. I feel betrayed. I'm surrounded by my enemies. Lord, where are you? Right? You ever been angry? There's been times I've had to open up the Psalms and in here they're expressed where David's like, take my enemies and grind up their bones. And I'm like, yeah, that's the one! Right? But what's beautiful about the Psalms is they go through all that range of human emotions and it pours it out before a God and it says, but at the end of it is, God, you're still God. You know, God, I feel lost, but I know you're with me. Lord, you know, I'm walking on sunshine and rainbows right now. I will praise your name forever. God, I'm hurting. The sky seems so dark, but God, you are still God. And the Psalms bring around this beautiful picture in our lives. And if you don't have any habit of getting to the Psalms, get into them. If you're going through something, go through the Psalms. And you'll find the emotions, and you'll find that. And it'll speak to you in a real, very real way. Psalms, hymns. Now, it's interesting because the term hymns, you know, we always think of the hymnal, right? Well, the term here for hymns has to do with singing songs to God. Singing songs to God. Right? Does a song address God? You know? And as we sing these songs about Him and to Him, that's the psalm. The term spiritual songs are songs about spiritual things. Right? To God be the glory, great things He has done, talking about His glory, talk about who He is. We talk about, oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, that's a hymn, because I'm singing to God. And when I'm singing about God, it's a spiritual songs. But in here in our lives, and there's a lot of garbage songs out here. Right? Notice I didn't say anything about style. I'm not a big, doesn't matter, style of music you listen to, but does it fall into these criteria in your life? Is it the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? Second thing is singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The idea here is, look, as you're going down to the Lord, do you think about Him often? Right? that in here, and music becomes a very powerful tool of memorizing scripture, powerful, that throughout the day, are you thinking and dwelling and focusing and meditating on God? And we live in a society where you can turn on the radios and get listening to it. That in here, you'd have these words and be tapping your toes all day long. And I'll tell you, it changes you. It really does. It starts having an effect on us. Verse 20, he's giving thanks. Being thankful. Make it a habit of being thankful. She had Linda bring her little owl this morning. Remember the little owl? What was it? It was an attitude. There you go. Attitude, try gratitude. We're teaching that to the kids. But yeah, an attitude of gratitude in our lives. You know, it's so easy to watch and talk, and you know, everyone is so down. Right? I mean, it's so depressing. You look at what's going on with politics and what's around the world and all these other things. It's so easy to tear down. But I'll tell you, one of the things that will lift us up above this is thankfulness in our lives. If we really stop and think about, Lord, what do I have to be thankful for? Oh, so much. Oh, so much. Years ago, we knew a couple. He ended up, he was a young guy. They were a couple in their 20s. I think they had 3-4 kids, just little ones. And her husband developed a stomach cancer. And it went undiagnosed because typically it was a disease that no one got until they're in their 70s. And so they didn't even test for it. They said, oh, you're in your 20s, there's no way you have it. Well, that's what he had by the time they diagnosed him. And so from a year, from a point where he was not feeling well to the point he died, was 1 year. And it was probably about 4 or 5 months after that, that she was at church and there was an event, and the ladies all kind of gathered over in the corner, and they were all talking about how awful their husbands were. You know, my husband leaves his underwear all over here. All mine leaves a seat up. Mine does this. And they were going around, and all the ladies were talking about, and guys, before you get all haughty, you can get guilty of the same thing. But in here, they're just talking and trashing their husbands, and this girl was standing there. And someone looked at her, and they asked, they said, are you okay? And she had tears in her eyes, and she goes, you know what? You don't know how lucky you guys are. I wish I had a husband that I could complain about. And he goes, all of a sudden, they put a kibosh on everything. Be thankful, she said, for what you have. It's so easy to be negative. It's so easy to tear down. But be thankful. Be thankful for our job. Be thankful for the home. Be thankful for the vehicle. Be thankful for what we have. And have an attitude of that. And what it does is brings in line. You know, you ever gone through Walmart and you hear that bratty kid that's screaming and yelling, and I want, and right? You know, like, man, I feel sorry for their parent, right? Well, you know what? I think sometimes we're spoiled little brats in the kingdom of God, and we're unthankful for what our Father has provided for us. To stop and be thankful, to have an attitude of gratitude. Walk in wisdom. And the last one, verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That in our lives, that we become self-centered, and I just worry about me. Can I tell you something? That's a road to misery. But when I can get out of myself, and I can serve others, if I can help others, boy, folks, that will transform us. You know, because when I become self-centered, it's a bottomless pit. If I just want to focus on my situation, I can get into a very dark place really fast. I think this is one of the problems that we have in our society with so much depression that's out there. And people are so focused on themselves instead of focusing on the Lord, of focusing on each other. know, as a church, we are here to help and serve each other. How can I help you? What's the need? And sometimes it takes us to know each other well enough. Right? Now, I've always said that churches are one of those places that the more you give to, the more you get back. And the more involved I am in your life, the more involved you are in my life, the richer we all become. Then here, I see a need. And I can say, hey, what can I do to do that? Then on the flip side, when I'm in need, I know someone's there for me. You know, as pastor, you know, I don't have family around. Now, this is a unique circumstances here. This is the first church I've been at, that so many of you have family other places. Right? A lot of you are transplants from all over the place. And in here, the church becomes an opportunity for us to really become rich, because you become my family. You become part of that crew that I don't have. You know, Sunday mornings, I love walking around and saying hi because I've missed you guys throughout the week. I love seeing people in the grocery store and down the road and saying hi to people because you're my family. And family sticks together within the family of God. And I'll tell you, folks, as we turn around and just start practicing these things, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in our heart, giving thanks and submitting to one another, as we do these things, it adjusts our attitudes in here and brings us in tune with the Lord. And in here, He will fill us. He will control us and He will lead us. And it will change us in our lives. So in here, we can talk about in Ephesians chapter 5, the first part is talk about walking. Walking in love. Walking in the light. And then this morning we looked at walking in wisdom. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord. Lord, help us to yield to Your Spirit. Lord, help us to walk wisely in the choices we make. Help us be purposeful in each step that we take. And Lord, in here, allow us to have a filling of the Spirit that will guide us and direct us, that will control our tongues, that will control our feet and our hands, Lord, as we yield to You. So that what we do would be pleasing in Your sight. Lord, we ask this in Your name. Amen.